What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman. And guys, I hope you all are having a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. So guys, I decided to come back on here just because a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about the Giants offense this season. You know, obviously, for the first time in a while, we're probably going to see, there's a good chance that a lot of Giants fans could see, we can see this Giants offense finally show up and put up points and give not just Giants fans, but the entire NFL reasons that they can compete, with the better teams in this league. Daniel Jones, he's gonna be going into the season Daniel Jones, it's very obvious to say he's going to be going into the season with a lot of help. The offensive line will be better. This wide receiving core is very talented. Mike Kafka is coming back as the offensive coordinator. There's no excuses for Daniel Jones, to not succeed. But I believe he will. I think Daniel Jones will continue to play well, because Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka, both of these guys are coming from very good football teams. Both of these guys have worked with two of the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL. Brian Daboll worked with Josh Allen. Mike Kafka worked with Patrick Mahomes. And when both of these guys came together, they turned Daniel Jones into a star, But stars continue to get better every season. And that's the big question for Daniel Jones. Can he do the same thing he did last season? Can he continue to be better? Can he show up when his team needs him to show up? Daniel Jones did have five game-winning drives, And I feel like those kind of things are signs that he is getting better. He's understanding the system, and he's only gonna get even much better. Daniel Jones was playing, this was his first year playing under another system, but this time Brian Daboll separates himself. It's very obvious that you got to separate Brian Daboll from all the other coaches the Giants have had, because what he brought to the table is a lot different than what Joe Judge brought to the table, what Pat Shermer brought to the table. What he brought to the table is discipline. What he brought to the table is a guy that can lead. What he brought to the table was a guy that can turn any quarterback in a star. Let's see if that is true. Because everyone heard what I said yesterday. I said this was the same story with the 2016 and 17 Giants. When they made the playoffs and everyone thought the Giants were going to run it back to the postseason, and they haven't. It's been a while since the Giants made it to the playoffs, and last year was the first time. But I think the one little thing that separates Brian Daboll from Ben McAdoo, Brian Daboll, Brian Daboll believes in not giving up. Why do you think Brian Daboll always mentions 60 minutes? 60 minutes, 60 minutes, 60 minutes because he knows if there's still time left on that clock in any quarter, if it's the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, he knows that if there's enough time, we have the tools to scare defenses because you got a guy in Daniel Jones. Like last year, like a lot of everyone was saying this last year, how last year was an evaluation year. One thing that we all know about Daniel Jones, he can run the ball. You know, Daniel Jones had over 700 yards rushing, you know, and I feel like I expect him to continue to pile up those yards and rushing because Mike Kafka's coming back, you know, Mike Kafka. A lot of people are starting to call Mike Kafka another Kyle Shanahan because he's so intelligent at what he does, you know. He's so creative, you know, and that's what's so scary about offensive coordinators that are so interested in what they do. When you have guys like, you know, when you have guys like Kyle Shanahan, when you have like Kyle Shanahan Kyle Shanahan has one of the most innovative minds in the entire league of football. He's so smart when it comes to offense. And I feel like just looking how he schemes this offense is very similar to Kyle Shanahan's. And I love it, you know, and it's very obvious that Daniel Jones, he's a dual threat quarterback. He can do it all. He cut down on the turnovers. His decision making was a whole lot better last year. Daniel Jones' passer rating, his QBR. Daniel Jones' QBR was a 90.3. Like, that's amazing. He threw almost 70% of his passes. You know, so I just love what I see. You know, and you know, it's so crazy. And I said this last week. This kid in the press conference, Daniel Jones, you know, it's so crazy. He acts like Eli Manning, but on the field, he doesn't. Like, on the field, he acts like Colin Kaepernick. Rich Eisen, another one of my favorite podcast hosts, he said Daniel Jones reminded him of Colin Kaepernick, which shocked me. You know, I never really thought anyone would compare Daniel Jones to Colin Kaepernick. But when I was thinking about what Rich Eisen said about comparing Daniel Jones to Colin Kaepernick, and I was like, he's right. I mean, when Colin Kaepernick took the 49ers to the playoffs, it was very similar. Colin Kaepernick, I think the tiny difference between Daniel Jones' kind of play and Colin Kaepernick's kind of play, both of these guys can run the ball. I mean, when Colin Kaepernick, when he was much younger in the NFL, no one could stop him. You know, Colin Kaepernick had legs. But I think the little difference between Colin Kaepernick and Daniel Jones, he puts a lot of effort in the passing game. Colin Kaepernick wasn't that much of a passer, you know, and there's obviously a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons for that happening. I mean, the 49ers, they had a lot of tough competition. They were playing a lot of good teams. They were playing the Legion of Boom. You know, they're playing the Baltimore Ravens. They had a great defense. You know, and obviously, you know, the NFL, ever since that happened, the NFL has changed. And defenses only got better and better over time. You know, but I love that this organization gave him a chance to show what he can do. You know, to show what you can do behind a really good offensive line, behind a really good wide receiving core. And, you know, well, last year, the Giants' offensive line wasn't that good, but it wasn't bad either. You know, and don't forget, guys, this is still a young team. You know, there's still a lot of young players. There's a lot of young players on this roster. You know, and they're getting even much younger. You know, they got John Michael-Schmidt, who's a rookie. They, you know, the Giants have two very young tackles, Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal. Andrew Thomas, he's already proven to be one of the better tackles in this league. Evan Neal, I expect him to take a big leap going into the season. You know, you drafted one of the best centers, and you drafted one of the best centers in John Michael-Schmidt. You know, the guard position, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But I just love where everything's going. You know, obviously the Saquon Barkley situation, that has a lot of, you know, a lot of Giants fans are keeping a close eye on that situation. The wide receiving court, like, this offense, like, we could finally see the, I think for the first time in a long time, we might see a Giants offense put up points and play great football, you know? But a lot of you guys asked me a question. Most of you guys were asking me, Justin, can the Giants offense continue to ascend? Well, let's assess the roster. I mean, the Giants have improved personnel, you know, provided Saquon Barkley is playing. In year one, Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, you know, they made tremendous strides on offense, you know, finishing 15th in the league in scoring after placing 31st in the league in 2021. If you're going to ask me, can the Giants continue to take steps forward on offense? Well, let's look at where things stand now that the offseason program has concluded. Let's look at the quarterback. Let's look at the quarterback position. Obviously, the current roster for the quarterback position, you have Daniel Jones, you have Tyrod Taylor, and you have Tommy DeVito. The big question for me, you know, and obviously this is the same question every Giants fan would ask, will Daniel Jones continue to ascend? The Giants are baking on it. They gave this guy $81 million guaranteed over the next two seasons to find out either Daniel Jones' impressive 2022 season was the best he can be, or if it hinted that he can play even better and take the Giants even further. It's very clear to say this guy had the best, most efficient season of his career in 2022. He still, though, totaled only 3,000 passing yards and threw just 15 touchdown passes in 16 games. The Giants were 15th in the league in scoring. Those numbers obviously need to go up if the Giants are going to have a chance to become an upper, you know, Achillean team. You know, Darren Waller gives Daniel Jones the best receiver he's ever had. You know, if Darren Waller can stay healthy and if he can still be the player he was a couple of seasons ago, Darren Waller changes the calculus of this entire passing. If Darren Waller stays healthy and he plays like the Darren Waller we saw 2 years ago, Darren Waller will change the entire calculus of this passing attack that the Giants have. So too does the speed possessed by newcomers Paris Campbell, Jalen Hyatt, Jeff Smith, and maybe Bryce Ford Wheaton. Assuming reasonably good health at the skills positions and the presence of Saquon Barkley, this should be the best group of playmakers Daniel Jones has worked with. And, you know, I mean, there's no question about that. Combine that with his second season in this offense, and it is reasonable to expect a significant jump in his passing numbers. The next roster question: two quarterbacks or three? And who is quarterback number three? look, the Giants kept two quarterbacks a season ago with Davis Webb on the practice squad for most of the season. Davis Webb, of course, is now the quarterback's coach for the Denver Broncos. Let's start with the who is quarterback number three question. I don't have an answer for that, you know. I mean, after hearing some talk about the four practices this spring, I'm pretty sure DeVito, who is an undrafted free agent, isn't the answer. Journeyman Jacob Eason was at the mandatory minicamp as a tryout player. To this point, he hasn't been signed. So the Giants probably don't think he is. The answer either. Excuse me. I feel like how the Giants approach figuring out who will be the third quarterback might depend on either they plan to keep a third quarterback on the main roster. Is potentially take advantage of the new emergency quarterback rule. That rule features a third quarterback to be activated and play if the other two quarterbacks are ruled out, provided he is part of the 53-man roster. Now, if you're gonna ask me whether the Giants go with two quarterbacks and stash a young developmental player on the practice squad, or will they try to find a journeyman who will at least have the advantage of prior NFL playing experience, should he be needed, or would they do both? The next position, we got the running back position. The current roster, Saquon Barkley, when and if he signs. Matt Breida, Gary Brightwell, Eric Gray, and Deshaun Corbin. Obviously, the big question, and this is not going to be new to us, what will happen with Saquon Barkley? We have been over it and over it and over it. We have been over this discussion for the past 10 months now, I believe. Obviously, the question is, will he get a long-term deal? Will he sign the franchise tag if he doesn't? Obviously, we've talked about this. It's hard to say. You know, it's hard to say. I will say this, though. I feel like the one question we should be really asking ourselves, what kind of money, because you guys heard me say this before, Saquon Barkley, he wants the respect he deserves. So obviously, I feel like the Giants should be wondering, what kind of respect do you want? Like, what, how much money is respectful to you, you know? And I'm assuming it's going to be $15 million, because Saquon, he doesn't want to become the highest paid running back, you know, but he didn't accept the 12, 13 or 14 million. So it has to be somewhere around $15 million, you know. Or maybe he wants more. I mean, some of you guys were predicting that Saquon might get a two to three year deal worth $30 million, which I just don't see that happening. You know, obviously it's been something that I've been talking about. Like, no one cares about the running back position anymore. That's what I feel like. So we'll see what happens. the the big roster question for me is, can Gary Brightwell keep his roster spot? let's assume Saquon Barkley is playing. Matt Breida and Eric Gray would all seem to be locks to make the 53-man roster. The Giants kept only three running backs a year ago, and if they do so again, that could leave Gary Brightwell, who is, to me, this guy is more of a special teams player than a running back on the outside looking in. You know, he was a team's primary kickoff returner a year ago, and the league's new kickoff fair catch rule that should further limit such returns might also limit Gary Brightwell's opportunity. DeShawn Corbin, who spent last year on the practice squad and is back to compete again, might also have something to say about Gary Brightwell's future on the 53-man roster. So, yeah. So, the next position, guys, we got the tight end position, the current roster. We got Darren Waller, we got Daniel Bellinger, we got Lawrence Cager, we got Chris Myrick, we got Tommy Sweeney, and we got Ryan Jones. The big question for me is, can Darren Waller stay healthy? Darren Waller is different. He looks, moves, and plays differently than a normal tight end. The fact that this guy practiced almost exclusively with the wide receivers during the spring and spent most of his time aligned in the slot on the solo side of a 3x1 formations, all those details tell you the Giants plan to use him differently. You know, Darren Waller, as I said before, he could change the calculus of the Giants passing attack. If he can stay healthy and stay on the field after back-to-back seasons of 1,000 plus yards receiving, this guy, you know, Darren Waller, he played in just 11 games in 2021 and 9 games in 2022. You know, Darren Waller, you know, said this recently, I view this season as an opportunity to get back to having fun and just being available for my teammates every and each week. That's something I haven't been able to do the last couple of years, and I'm fully aware of that. I'm doing everything in my control to be able to be out there and be accountable, be reliable by just being out there every day. I'm excited about the challenge. I've done it before, and I'm ready to do it again. I'm going to say it right now. Darren Waller, if he can, and he still has something approaching the ability he displayed a couple of seasons ago, the Giants will have a unique and game-changing player at their disposal. Obviously, the roster question is, who joins Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger? Lawrence Cager probably has an inside track on a roster spot. You know, he's a receiver, first tight end like Darren Waller, and considering Darren Waller's injury history, having someone else who could at least do some of the same things is probably advisable. Plus, Lawrence Cager did tantalize with an 8-catch game in the 2022 finale against the Eagles. Considering that the Giants really can't or shouldn't rely on Darren Waller or Cager to handle inline blocking responsibility, It would behoove them to find a way to keep another inline tight end to help Daniel Bellinger with that. Now, the Giants have holdover Chris Myrick, former Buffalo Bill Tommy Sweeney, and undrafted free agent Ryan Jones to choose from. I would guess Sweeney, if the Giants roster a fourth tight end, simply because of his connection to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from the Bills. So, I would say that. And guys, wide receiver. That's the our next position is the wide receiver position. The current roster, we have Paris Campbell, we have Jamison Crowder, we have Bryce Ford Wheaton, we have Isaiah Hodgins, we have Jalen Hyatt, we have Colin Johnson, we have Jaden Mickens, we have Khalil Pimpleton, Mekhi Polk, Wando Robinson, Sterling Shepard, Davis Sills, Darius Slayton and Jeff Smith. Obviously, the big question is, how much will Jalen Hyatt produce in year one? Look, I could have gone with the who's the number one question, but I believe that doesn't matter as much as it might have because Darren Waller is the number one receiver. Jalen Hyatt, the third round pick out of Tennessee, this kid has it. I said this in my mock draft, you know, I think I said this 2 months ago, two or three months ago. I said this, you know, like I said before, I'm going to say it again. This kid has exciting speed and he has playmaking potential. He also, though, has a lot to learn. You know, he's a rookie, you know, which is not a question, you know, and I would not be surprised if he struggles. But once this guy, I'm going to say this right now. And this is not a prediction. This is a spoiler. Once Jalen Hyatt understands everything, this kid is going to be a monster. This kid could be the next Plaxico Burress in New York. And that's just my opinion. I mean, Plaxico Burress, he's a tall receiver. Jalen Hyatt's a tall receiver. Plaxico Burress, he's a great route runner. Watching, you know, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of talk about Jalen Hyatt not being that good of a route runner. I think that's a lie because I've seen some pretty unique route running from this kid. He can snag the ball from the air. He's very aggressive. He's physical. This kid is very comparable to I think you compare this kid to Plaxico Burress, you know, because he's very similar, you know. Jalen Hyatt, he's coming from a unique college offense that doesn't resemble what he will be asked to do in the NFL. You know, Hyatt also was purely a slot receiver for Tennessee, and he's expected to transition to more of an outside role going forward. Now, he worked mostly with the third team throughout offseason workouts and did not catch a lot of passes. Mike Kafka said this during OTAs. He was saying Jalen is doing a nice job. He's right on schedule. He's working. He's growing. That's one thing you've seen from him from the first day in rookie camp to the next day. Then you're working through this phase three part of it is his growth and his familiarity and comfortability with the offense. Obviously, you know, the Giants traded up to draft this kid, and it figures that they will find ways to add the threat of his speed to their offense. I am just not sure Hyatt should be expected to play a high percentage of snaps, at least not early in this rookie season, especially since the Giants appear to have enough depth, so they shouldn't have to force feed him. My roster question is, who will be left out? Look, there are more capable NFL caliber receivers on the 90-man roster than the Giants can keep on the week 53-man roster. That remains the case of Wando Robinson and Sterling Shepard, both of those guys are rehabbing from torn ACLs, are not part of the season opening roster. If healthy, Jalen Hyatt, Isaiah Hodgins, Paris Campbell, and Darius Slayton are roster locks. Beyond that, how many receivers the Giants keep and who will be, you know, that's pretty much anybody's guess. All right, guys, let's move on to the offensive line. The current roster, we have Jack Anderson, we have Ben Bredesen, we have Wyatt Davis, Mark Lewinsky, Shaylen Meal, Marcus McKeithen, Joshua Zudu, Davey Hamilton, J.C. Hassenauer, John Michael Schmitz, Corey Cunningham, Evan Neal, Matt Peart, Tyree Phillips, and Andrew Thomas. Obviously, the big question, can Evan Neal improve in year two? Look at, obviously, Evan Neal had a rocky rookie season, which shouldn't be a surprise. You know, every rookie is going to struggle in some way. Everyone who follows the Giants knows that. You know, a mid-season knee injury cost him several games, and he never appeared to be truly healthy the rest of the season. Whatever the reasons, you know, Evan Neal's rookie season wasn't what anyone had hoped for. You know, perhaps expecting a massive Andrew Thomas-like leap in year two is unfair, but the Giants drafted Evan Neal number 7 overall a year ago, and he needs to begin to show them why this season, why they drafted him so early. You know, Bobby Johnson, the offensive lines coach, said this at minicamp. He was saying, "Evan's a worker. I have no reason to believe that with the work ethic put in, the attention to detail, and pushing to be a really good player, that we won't see better results." Obviously, you know, Evan Neal, of course, spent time during the offseason working with former All-Pro right tackle Willie Anderson to find a more comfortable stance. You know, Evan Neal was saying something that got me thinking. He was saying you've got to be able to be functional in your stance and be able to move efficiently out of your stance. That's what we're trying to find. Find a place that I'm quick out of, that's comfortable for me, a stance that I can get in and repeat rep after rep after rep. You know, and it's very understandable. You know, I feel like, you know, I say this all the time. Once you're a rookie in the NFL, you know, the NFL is not like college. Like, no one's gonna be there for you. You gotta be there for yourself. You know, I mean, you have no one else but your family and yourself. You know, so you really gotta be prepared for what comes your way once you enter the pros, you know, because you're really the only thing you have, you know. So I love how Evan Neal is being very mature. I love how he's taking care of the errors that got him messed up last season. So yeah, those are the kind of players I like. Those are the kind of players that I want on my team. Players that really care about themselves, and not just for themselves, but for their teammates as well. So yeah, you know, Bobby Johnson said the changes Evan Neal made with Anderson were things he and Evan Neal had previously discussed. You know, Bobby Johnson was also saying these are all things that we had communicated, either it be after the season or during the offseason, with him keeping me informed. My big thing with this whole thing is you got a guy who's a young guy, who's a talented player, who's working to get better at his craft. I got no problem with that. I'll never have a problem with that. So what he did this offseason, what he's working on right now, I give the kid all the credit in the world because he's a worker. And obviously, before I get to my next big question, you know, it's nice to hear that. You know, and I'm very excited to see Evan Neal. You know, I watch, you know, even though I'm a Buckeyes fan, I did, you know, the Buckeyes, Ohio State, we did end up facing Alabama. Evan Neal, he's a baller. You know, I still believe we will all see that same Evan Neal, but a much more ferocious one. You know, because, you know, once you're in the NFL, you know, you gotta be much more physical. You gotta be much more dangerous. You know, because you're playing the highest of highest levels in football. You're going against pros, guys that have experience, and I expect that from Evan Neal. So I'm excited. Guys, the next question obviously is, can John Michael Schmitz handle the center job? You know, obviously this is a guy, second round pick, who did much but not all, you know, not all of the work as the first team center throughout the spring. The Giants hedged their bet on Schmidt's readiness by having Ben Bredesen take some first-team reps with Joshua Zuda at left guard. You know, starting at center and, you know, being in control of protection calls, you know, is it obviously is a huge responsibility for a rookie. Not all are ready for it. And obviously the question will be, will this kid be ready? Bobby Johnson was saying about this guy, he was saying about John Michael Schmitz, for him, from a mental standpoint, learning curve is minimal. He's a very intelligent kid. He's a quick study. He works really hard at it. You know, Bobby Johnson, from what I've been hearing, he is more concerned right now about the physical aspects of the job, something the Giants have not been able to test in non-contact practices without pads on. Now, Bobby Johnson was also saying there's going to be a physical learning curve that we won't know until training camp. Doesn't look like there's going to be a gigantic learning curve from a physical standpoint, but you don't know. Here's what I would say. We'll find out when we... this was all from Bobby Johnson as well. He was also saying we'll find out when we... We'll find out when training camp starts and we put pads on. It's going to be an eye-opener first day. He has to block Dexter Lawrence. It's an eye-opener for a Garrett Bradbury in Minnesota that had to block Dex. I mean, if no one should be surprised if this kid struggles. You know, he's a rookie. I think we shouldn't be surprised. And this is what confuses a lot of people, because a lot of people, they expect the best player coming out of the best college, they expect them to be great in the NFL. And guess what? Once they expect that greatness from these top prospects, they end up being busts because social media puts too much pressure on these guys. That's why I always say, I recommend every prospect not to focus on social media, because social media, they don't do nothing but get under your skin, and they try to put too much pressure. Like, don't focus on social media. Focus on your well-being and focus on what you have to do. You know, will this kid struggle? Absolutely, but he ain't a scrub. I believe this kid will be a long-term answer for the Giants at the center position. And that's a promise. And that's a promise I'm never going to break. So, yeah. All right, guys. And another big question I have is, who is at left guard? You know, I think it's very obvious to say that... Whoever's at left guard might depend on either or not the Giants believe Schmitz is ready to handle center. Left guard appears to belong to Ben Bredesen heading into training camp. Joshua Zudu, a 2022 third-round pick, appears to be the next in line. And obviously the roster question, is there a roster spot for reserve center JT Hasanar? Who emerges as a backup guard out of the group of Lemieux, Anderson, Davis, and McKeeson? I mean, Tyree Phillips did an adequate job as a backup tackle last season. Can Matt Peart or Corey Cunningham also earn roster spots? We're going to have to find out. Yeah, guys. I appreciate the question. Can the Giants offense continue? I believe they will ascend. You know, I believe they will ascend. Due to how seeing how good of an offensive coordinator and play caller Mike Kafka is, I expect Mike Kafka to continue to use those creative play calls, you know, and I think it's gonna happen again, It's gonna be hard, the Giants obviously have a lot of the Giants add more youth to their roster. But you know, this is how you become great. You know, I mean, you can't keep the same players for a long time, you know, because players are going to start aging, you know, and that's why you have the draft, you know, so you have a group of fresh legs to help you try to win some games, you know, so I'm excited. We're going to see what happens, but that's what I got to say about that. I hope you guys enjoyed my long talk about this topic. I appreciate the question. I'll keep you guys updated I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I will keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants, so stay tuned. But until then, guys, I am out. Peace.